Amen. All right, well, this song that we just sang, Open the Eyes of My Heart, I tell you, that's going to be our prayer this morning. That song, what we just sang, is going to be our prayer where we start, right? And it's not that back in the day people thought, you know, that like the heart had eyes or anything like that, right? That when we sing that song, we're not singing something that obviously goes against science, right? But we are saying there's something more than just knowing about you, God. Right, there's a difference between knowing about and knowing. Like, I could be colorblind and know where the color red falls on in terms of the light spectrum, but I don't actually know what red looks like. Same thing, I can know all about being loved, but I might not know what it is like to be loved. And people back in the day, 2,000 years ago, understood that as well. That there can be a difference between knowing something intellectually and believing it, trusting it, feeling it. We talk about loving God not just with our minds, but with also our hearts and our hands. Not as if, you know, our hands and our hearts somehow had this mystical power to love as well, but rather that we love God with all of our being, not just intellectually, that we know the truth, but that we trust the truth, we believe the truth, and it affects our lives. And so our prayer, as we come into the preaching of God's word, is that he would open the eyes of our hearts, that we would see him and know him. Not just that you guys would hear information this morning. So join me in that prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would open the eyes of our heart this morning. We do want to see you. We want to see you here this morning. We want to see the places that you have worked in our lives, the lives of the ones that we love, the places that you are currently working in our lives and in theirs. And I pray, God, that you would open the eyes of our heart, that we would also see how you will continue to work, that we would trust you more. As we come to your word, I pray that you would speak through me, that you would open our ears to hear from you, that this wouldn't just be new information. I pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You guys, we are in Ephesians. It shouldn't shock you. We're going to be there for a while. Ephesians, remember, is a letter written by the Apostle Paul. He's in prison. Life maybe isn't going too great for him, but he doesn't seem to care. He's excited. He's thankful. And that's just what we looked at the first two Sundays, right? He opens the letter by just praising God. Remember, he says, man, this is how God has blessed you with everything. He chose you from before you were even born to be his son, his daughter. You are his child. And more than that, it's not just that you are a child that he doesn't really care too much about or that he's stuck with, you know, that he's kind of ashamed of, thinking like, I hope people don't know about my son or my daughter, or, you know, that they certainly don't know this part about them. No, that's not the God that we serve. He chose you. He made you his son or his daughter. And he said, I treat you as a favorite child. And more than that, Paul says, look, that's just the start, right? He's promised us more. He's given us these huge blessings, but it's just the surface. There's more to come. And then we have a therefore, or because, for this reason, right? Paul's just told you the truth. Here's the truth. Therefore, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I am doing. And that's what we come into. Verse 15, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, that they may be opened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come, including now in 2020. And God placed all things under his feet, that's Jesus' feet, and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. That is Paul's therefore for this. He begins, right? Here are all the blessings. This is how God has absolutely blessed you. And therefore, this. And what does he do? What's the first thing, right? It's not that Paul has these two sentences or two statements back to back for no reason whatsoever, right? He's just kind of like pulling things out of a hat, being like, ooh, praise God. Ooh, thanks and prayer. He connects them. How are they connected? Right? He starts by saying, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people. Why does Paul care? Right? So he's heard about the faith of the Ephesians and he's so grateful for them. He's so thankful. And he praises God. Why? Because he's just said God is so good and so generous and pours out so many blessings. And I've heard that you Ephesians have faith in Jesus. And so therefore, I know that all these blessings are your blessings. Every single one that I just said, this is how God blesses people. I know that every single one of those blessings are for you. And moreover, I hear of the love that you have for all God's people, which just gives me full confidence. I'm so grateful that the God of all blessings has blessed you, Ephesians, because I know that it is God's strength and his mercy that has called you to him. The life of a Christian, the life of a follower of Jesus, ought to be marked by thankfulness. But why? Right? It's the blessings that God pours out upon his people, which are very different than the blessings that you and I are used to. We think of things like money. Now, the problem with that is that if every single person on earth just somehow got $1 million from the U.S. government, what would happen? Would everyone be $1 million richer? Sure. What would that $1 million do? Nothing. Because if 7 billion people had $1 million extra dollars in their bank account, you've got inflation that would go through the roof. And all of a sudden, $1 million would be almost worthless. Blessings don't work that way in the way that we're used to them in this world, right? It's like, man, I got a promotion. Usually that means I got a promotion at the expense of someone that I work with. Or maybe it's the flip side. I didn't get a promotion. That guy's all excited. That woman's all excited because she got one. Now I'm pretty upset. Or even you get a raise and then you find out that your coworker got a larger raise. And are you excited? All of a sudden, you're jealous. Well, why? Why did they get more? The blessings of God are not like that. The blessings of God are limitless, which just means that anyone can be blessed, and that means that all ships rise with the tide. And so here is Paul, and he says, I am so, so grateful because the Ephesian church, I've heard about you guys, right? I met you. I didn't preach the gospel to you to begin with. Someone else did that, but I've been with you before, and I love you guys, and I just hear that your faith continues to grow and that your love continues to grow, and I am so, so grateful because I know that the Lord has blessed you, and this is the most exciting thing for me as a minister of the gospel. That's what Paul says here in his letter to the Ephesians. And I tell you this morning, it's great to see you here. I love that you are here. I don't love that you are here because I'm thinking, great job security, right? Like I'm this young pastor and, you know, like the church, we got to grow or at least stay stable. Otherwise, they're going to kick me out. And it's this weird position. I don't know if you guys knew this, but you afford me the opportunity to be a pastor. Right, my salary, my livelihood is afforded to me by you. I don't get excited when I see you here thinking, okay, there's a good shot, more tithes, more offerings. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. That's not what I'm excited about. And if you ever feel that way, I would say talk to your elders, Tom Bailey Jr., Connie Yoder. I don't know where she's at. John Mazur and say, I feel like our pastor is just in it for the money. That's not what you want. That is not the pastor that you want. I want to see you guys come to know Jesus more. It's the only thing that matters. It's what matters most. Other things in life, they're important, right? Don't hear me say like money is not important, you know, family's not important. Of course they are. Unbelievably so. But in comparison to knowing God more, it just pales. Because as you know God more, everything else is going to rise with it. And so here is Paul who's so excited. He's saying, Ephesians, I've heard of your faith that you have in Jesus. I've heard of the love that you have for another. And I praise God because of it. I thank him for you every day, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. This is the Apostle Paul who has prayed for people to rise from the dead and they've done it. Who had a poisonous snake hanging off of his hand and he pulled it off and he was totally fine. Who himself was stoned to death so everyone thought he was dead and then he just got up and went back into a city and preached to the people who stoned him to death. That Apostle Paul, this is a man whose prayers counted. Right? If you ever thought, does God hear my prayers? Well, I will tell you, he certainly heard Paul's prayers. And here is Paul writing to the Ephesians, and he doesn't say, right, I pray to you, Ephesians, that you guys get more disciples, more people, or I pray that you are healthy and wealthy. He says, I pray that you may know God better, that the eyes of your heart may be opened so that you may know him more. And I keep praying that. That is my first prayer, and that is the prayer that I keep on praying. Now, does that mean that's the only prayer that Paul prays? No, of course not. Paul, in another part of Scripture, will say, sometimes I don't even know what to pray for, and the Spirit intercedes, and all I can do is groan. God, bah, help. And Paul says, that's a good prayer. The Spirit is with you and prays on your behalf. But the one that he always prays for people, and including himself, is that they may know God more. When is the last time that you prayed for yourself or for another that you or they would know God better? Very often when we're moved to prayer, we usually do pray for health, sometimes for wealth, oftentimes for wisdom. And when we say wisdom, what we really mean is, God, I've got these choices and I just want you to help me make the right one. What is the choice that I should make that will make me most happy? Please, God, give me the wisdom so that I will know what path to take to be happiest. We don't often pray that we would know God better. Even though, if we truly believe all of these things that Paul just laid out for us, to open up Ephesians. Here's the God that has blessed you with every spiritual blessing. Even before you were born, before you even knew how to think, he thought of you. And he made you his son. He made you his daughter. And he said, you are my favorite son and my favorite daughter. And if this is the God that we know better, I will tell you everything else in life will also be better. God is not against your happiness, but he's not often for it either. It's a good thing to be happy, but it's always going to go up and down like the tide or like any wave in the ocean. You've got a good wave of happiness, and then the happiness goes away. And if I, as the pastor, am just telling you that God wants you to be happy, I'm setting you up for failure because there are many points in life where I think that you won't be happy. And there are many points in life where following Jesus sometimes can be the harder thing, where following Jesus will actually make you less happy. And you go, well, should I not follow Jesus then? And if life is only about being happy, you would think, well, I just don't follow Jesus in this part of my life. Which is why Paul says, I pray all the time, I keep on asking that you would know God more, whether you are happy or not, that you would continue to seek him and to know him intimately, not just to know about him, not just to read this book and to be like, you know what, if you gave me like a multiple choice test, I would probably get a good 85%, if not higher. You know, I could pass a Bible exam. I got to pass a Bible exam recently. Sweet. Does that guarantee that I know my Father in heaven? It doesn't. There are atheists who could pass a Bible exam and do a better job than I could. Knowing about is not the same as knowing. So before we end, we got to talk about what do we mean when we say know God? What is Paul saying when he says, I pray that you know God better? It's actually pretty simple. He just talks about three things, and we're just going to boil it down and make it as simple as possible. There are more complicated things in the Christian faith. It's not always super simple, and I will tell you that we're going to hit some of them later on in Ephesians, because Paul eventually starts addressing, now, if I'm a follower of Jesus, what does that look like in, at that point, first century AD? In our point, what does it look like in the 21st century AD? And we got to piece through some of these things, but Paul starts and always returns to the basics, and he says, I want you to know the hope that you are called to, which is an easy way, I will just say, that you will see Jesus face to face. How many of you would like to see God? Maybe you guys have questions you want to ask him, right? You're like, did I make the right choice? Like, what should I have eaten the Snickers bar or should I have eaten the Twix? Those aren't the important ones, but you probably do have really good questions that you want to ask God. And I tell you, you will see Jesus face to face. That is the hope that we are called to. Not just through a mirror, not through a veil, not just through a book, but face to face with the risen Jesus. This is the hope that we are called to. How often do we think about that? How often in the midst of really difficult situations, really difficult, right? Do I take a left? Do I take a right? Do I go to Florida or do I stay here? How often do we think, you know what, regardless of which path I take, I'm going to see my risen Savior face to face. Do these things matter? Of course they do. But ultimately, this is what is most important, and this is where I am going. This is what I am called to. First thing, right, to know we're going to see Jesus face to face. Second thing, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, which is just, if we're going to boil it down, how can you know for sure? Like, am I really going to see Jesus face to face? It comes back to the blessings that Paul just talked about to open up Ephesians. And Paul says, yeah, you know how you can know for sure that you're going to see Jesus face to face? Because it's not about you. It's really not. It is that God in his mercy and his goodness has made you to be his inheritance and sees you as valuable and has made you valuable. And he has said, I make you mine because I love you and I want you. And so you will see Jesus face to face for those who have put their faith in Christ, not because, you know what, you're better than other people. Christians are often not better than other non-Christians. I wish that were the case. That's what we're called to, but it's a long process. Sometimes Christians can be some of the meanest people, and I think that breaks my heart. Praise God that he is gracious and loving and patient to no end. Thank you. That is how we know. Will I see Jesus face to face? Yes, because I trust my Savior, Jesus Christ. I trust the love of my Father. I don't trust my own goodness. I know I can't trust my own goodness because I'm really ultimately not that great. But I trust the one who has saved me. And then how will we be sustained? Because we're talking about things in the future. But Paul is a smart man, right? He doesn't live in the 21st century, but it's not like Paul doesn't know the difficulties of life. And so he is aware the day-to-day, in and out minutiae, the routines that we've got to go through, the struggles that we've got to go to, the complicated situations, right? Of just how do I be a Christian at any point, but also how do I just stay alive in the midst of a difficult world that is full of broken, sinful people? Even the ones who love me best are oftentimes the worst to me. And I'm similarly guilty, just vice versa. How are we sustained? And Paul says, I hope that you know God more, that you know that you're going to see him face to face, that you know that you're guaranteed because he loves you and he's made you precious. But I want you to know that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, that raised Jesus to be at the hand of the Father, that same power is in you. Now, does that mean that you're going to raise people from the dead like Paul did? Maybe. Most likely, no. Statistically, I'm going to go by that. I don't think that's going to happen, but it might. But I do know that that same power that brought Jesus up from the grave is in you and with you and will sustain you through the difficulties of the world. And if we don't know that, if we're not praying to remember that and to trust that and to believe that, I tell you, the world's not going to tell you that. You're not going to go on Fox News or CNN and, you know, the news anchor is going to tell you guys, I just want to remind you that the same power that rose Christ Jesus from the dead is in you and will sustain you through the difficulties of this 2020 election. No, you're not going to hear that. Doesn't mean it's not true. We often live as if it is not true because we forget it. We know it intellectually, but it doesn't sink into our hearts. It's not played out in the way that we live our lives, which is why Paul, that's his first prayer. When he prays for more, the first thing he prays for is that I pray that you know God more. Sure, I can pray that you have more health. I pray that the Lord blesses you with good jobs and that he blesses you with a long line of kids and what have you. But I pray that you know him more first and foremost. Because ultimately, this is the thing that matters most and that's going to sustain you. I pray that the eyes of your heart would be opened, that you would see him. That's our prayer this morning. Join with me.